Good morning. You're welcome to church this morning. I just got a text from Pastor. I asked him, like, how was last night? Because they had a rally that over 500 people met in the town square. They walked for a while. Pastor didn't quite make that walk, but he met them in the town square. And they had kind of parade through the city, and over 500 people ended up there worshiping and singing. And he sent me videos, and they were definitely having a party and declaring the name of Jesus over that region. So that was a great opportunity for him. He's going to be with them for throughout this week. They will be taking videos. Footage they can come back and share with you, your brothers and sisters that we are working together with in Acuna, Mexico. So keep him in your prayers. And excited to see all your bright, shiny faces at this first service, right? All right, so we've been talking about forward, moving forward. I'm going to do a quick little review. Pastor had talked about heaven, the culture of heaven, and Peyton led off in this series on the culture of worship, and culture being defined as the shared values of the things that we do by nature. It's the act of it's a learned way of thinking and acting and behaving. It's how we walk our talk, right? Your culture is how you walk your talk, and it's the manifestation of my ideas, what I think is important. So here at the harbor, we want to maintain, number one, is a kingdom-based, God's love-driven culture. We have talked about that. Why are we so stuck on the kingdom? Well, let's see. What does the Bible say about that? In both Luke and Matthew, Jesus clearly said, seek the kingdom first. And he gave the promise to it that in the Passion in Luke 12 and 31 says, each and every day he will supply your needs as you seek his kingdom passionately above all else. So don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving Father joyously gives you his kingdom. He gives you his kingdom realm with all of its promises. You don't have to work for it. He gives it to you. It's available. So we keep that as a high priority. So why even establish and evaluate a value system? Well, if you're going to move forward, you need to look at your foundation, make sure it can hold your next. If I decide I'm going to build a house, it'd be really fun to just go pick out all the paint colors and the cabinets and all that. But it's not where it starts. It starts at the foundation. It starts at the stuff you can't see. It's so frustrating to walk out on a piece of ground and go, where's my house? Well, the foundation work hasn't been done. The dirt work hadn't been done. The stuff that really you don't see once it's built. But if I didn't have it, then I wouldn't have a house. So foundationally, we go back and look, what is my foundation? My foundation is that I'm going to put the kingdom of heaven first. The effects of that is going to show throughout all of my lifestyle. If I don't define my culture, I'll adapt to the culture that's around me. So I have to take the moment to say, what am I? Who am I? What do I believe? Because if I adapt to whatever is around me, it's not only about me, but it's about the next generations to come. Because they'll continue to adapt to the generation, to the culture that's around them. I was laughing when I was thinking about this. There's a story in my family that every time they would buy a ham, they'd get the ham ready. And, Mom, you can verify. I think I got the right generation here. But they would get a ham, then they would cut both the ends of the ham off and put it in the pot and cook the pot. So this went on, and one day someone asked, why do we cut off the ends of the ham? Well, I don't know. My mom always did that. So some disregard to the ends of the ham. They weren't as important as the rest, right? So they asked Mom, well, I don't know. I've always done that because my mom did that. So you go back and all the way to the end. So great-grandma's, oh, yeah, I cut the ends of the ham off because I didn't have a pan big enough to put my hand in. So culturally, we continue traditions, things that we have no clue why we're doing what we're doing. We've adapted to the culture without reasoning. John 15:19 says that Jesus tells us that we're not of this world, so we don't have the same value system of the world, but we are heaven's citizen by birth. So if I am not of this world, then I don't want the culture of this world. So I'm going to look for another culture. I'm going to look for heaven's culture. And heaven's culture is simply this. It's the exact opposite of the world's culture. In every way. The small gift is made large in heaven's culture. The weak are strong. The rejected, they're chosen in heaven. The cast down are lift up, and the broken are made whole. Is exact opposite. Where there is war in the earthly realm, there is peace in the heavenly realm. Everything in your life, if I am looking from the wrong perspective, then I am seeing the negative. If I am looking from heaven's perspective, I'm seeing the positive. I'm seeing what he sees and what he says about it. Heaven's viewpoint. Bill Johnson, I heard him say just a few weeks ago that when I'm looking at any circumstance in my life, am I looking through my heavenly home, through the windows of my heavenly home, or through the windows of my earthly home? It's very quick to, I can figure this out, because heaven's viewpoint is exactly the opposite of my worldly viewpoint. See, just like Peyton was saying a while ago, we are speaking and declaring what isn't yet from what I can see, but it is in the heavenly realm. So it's faith. I am speaking what is not as though it is. Heaven is declaring that there is forgiveness where there is still hate. I can declare, God, you are good when things are not good. I am declaring, I am looking from heaven's viewpoint. So how do I establish this culture in my life? Then I have to have knowledge, experience it, and be committed to it. The knowledge of the kingdom culture, I have to understand or have an awareness of something before I can actually participate in it. I got to know what's happening. I have awareness before I pursue it. The culture of heaven, like I said, is the opposite of the values of earth. So one of the main cultures of heaven is servanthood. In fact, it's the number one thing that he starts out talking about. This is the hierarchy of heaven, is servanthood. First, you want to be great? Be a servant. Because even the Son of Man didn't come to be served in Mark 10:45, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many people. Why do you think we worked very hard on looking for a catchphrase, or this is who we are. This says who we are in a small few words. Serving God, serving people. Oh, wow, that came straight out of the Bible. Serving God, serving people, that's first. Because if I am serving God, then I will be serving people. This is heaven's culture. This is what we have adapted. This is what I want it to look like, heaven on earth. So we want to serve unity. We live together in unity. That's what heaven is, a place of peace, a peace of unity. So if I'm bringing heaven to earth, then I dwell and live with my family, my coworkers, in unity. Prayer is the order of business. That's how things are done in heaven. It's ask, seek, and knock. That's the order of business in heaven. That's how things get done. You ask, and it shall be given. You seek and you find. You knock and it shall be opened to you. Want to know how to get something done and live in the heavenly realm? Go through that order of business. Ask. You have faith to believe. Seek that you may find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Worship, it's the atmosphere. Peyton covered this beautifully the first week that we went through this series. It's the whole atmosphere of heaven. It's worship. It's just like, whew, there you are, God. You're so awesome. You're so incredible. I lift you up above all things. It is the atmosphere. Honor. We talked a lot about that last month. It's the culture. It's a culture of honor. You learn to dig out the gold. Heaven digs out the gold in us. So we therefore desire to dig out the gold in those that are around me. When I am looking from heaven's perspective, instead of, it's kind of like the little kid in the class, you see someone doing something that's negative, like they have a bad attitude that day, they're being hurtful, you're like, oh, I got the answer, I got it. A little kid with their hand raised, because God placed you in that place to be the light to that one that is not seeing through heaven's perspective. So if I'm carrying heaven's culture, I got the answer. I know where he is. I am appointed to be the light, the answer. I will bring you to the answer. It's like raising your hand. Hey, to those that are around you, I know. I got it. I know what you need. Just ask me. I will be happy to tell you. Faith. Faith is, of course, the currency of heaven. We've already talked about a lot of faith here today. It's not what you see, it's what you know. Because if I know who he is, I know that my Father is good. And instead of speaking the world's perspective, I don't have enough, then my God is the provider of all that I need. I was convicted of this recently. I didn't even think about this being a part of my life, but if you someone asks, well, no, I really don't have enough money for that right now, or I can't afford that right now, that's not really the heaven's perspective way of to answer that. My God has everything. He is my provider. It's not time for that yet, but my God will provide all that I need. Maybe I'm not going to get that today, but I still have faith to believe my God is the provider. So I'm still looking to him. I'm not picking up the earth's culture and values that I'm not enough, I don't have enough, woe is me. No. My God is enough. My God is my provider. So I declare who he is in even the simplest things of life. But you know, knowledge is awesome, and it's great that I know what the values of heaven are, and I can see them. They're written in his word. He speaks them to us. His life was the values of heaven. But knowledge of it doesn't mean I practice it or I hold on to it. I can go to school all day long, sit in a classroom, never graduate. I could have went to school and sat in nursing school for years, but never practiced a single thing. I would have had all the knowledge that I needed. So knowledge is not everything. It alone doesn't display the culture of heaven. I can know all about what heaven is. I can study it. I can dissect it. I can know every Greek, every Hebrew, every drop about what the culture of heaven is. But it's possible to know the facts and have no clue what the meaning is. Or even what to do with all this knowledge that I have acquired. You know, I was blessed with a job a few years ago, which is, you have to laugh at it. I took one class in school that, one I dropped, which was accounting. Let's not tell Heather that, as she struggles with it at the moment. I was like, God, I am not wired that way. Let's drop that class. The other class I took that I had absolutely no business being in was computer programming. No business being in that class. Knew it, realized it, but had no way of getting out at that point. Had to stay in it. And God, in all his wonderful, infinite humor, gave me a job in programming. About 6 years ago, it was a God job. An absolute God job. A way to make a lot of money and stay at home. It was work, but it was a God job. Do you know, I knew how to do my job, and I did it well, but I didn't understand a whole lot about the intricate parts of it. I had not sat through many classes and knew all the depth and knowledge of it. I knew how to do what I needed to do. And in fact, they sent us to a seminar. I was sitting in that seminar 3 days of it. I had no clue what they were talking about. I would catch two or three little words here and there and go, oh, I know what that means. But other than that, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. I hadn't studied. I hadn't went to school to be a programmer. I hadn't spent years in that business. knowledge was being presented, but I had absolutely no way to apply that knowledge. Often this is kind of what the spirit of religion looks like. Unfortunately, we can have all the knowledge in the world, but if I can't figure out how to apply it, what good is that knowledge? The kingdom of heaven is to be displayed through me, but I only have knowledge of it and I don't have experience of it, then I can't show. See, God chooses revelation over the reasoning. Man likes to reason. Humanism, reasoning. That rational head knowledge comes from study, from reasoning. But relational heart knowledge comes from the heart through revelation of the Holy Spirit and meditation on His Word, accepting His truth. God said it, okay, that's how it is. Reasoning will take the truths and reason them all away. So experience. I have to go move beyond knowledge to experience. You know, Jesus in John 5:39-40 says, you search the scripture because you thought that in them you'll find eternal life. Hey, I can study hard enough that I'm going to get eternal life. It is these that testify about me. They tell all about me. But you were unwilling to come to me so that you could have life. These talk about me. But all you have to do is just come to me and I will give you life. You know, Paul was educated among the best in theology at the time. He was well studied. He was sound on his theology about who God was and what God wanted of his people. But he had missed the element of revelation. So God enters his life with revelation, knowledge on a Damascus road. It was a God moment for sure. God had to knock him off his high horse and blind him in order for him to get a revelation of who God was. It was followed by 3 years of just private tutoring by the Holy Spirit. He had spent so much time in knowledge, the Holy Spirit was kind of tutor him into an experience with God. Experience being the after knowledge, it's you have to experience the culture of heaven. We establish heaven's culture by it becoming real to us. You know, you can't take an experience away from a person. Knowledge fades, but experience is something. There's all five senses are involved in this experience I had. I can talk about it all day long, but I go there in my mind when I've had an experience. I relive it. It becomes real to me. It's secondhand knowledge versus experienced knowledge. You know, you can talk about, I was reading a story about Ben Woodard. He's a guy that writes a lot of songs. He moved here from Australia, and he said that he had studied, he had watched TV shows about America, he had studied about America, he knew a lot of history about America, and he thought he was prepared, but the moment his plane landed in LA and he walked off, he experienced America. And all the TV shows in the world did not give him that experience of what America was. And the same thing happens in our lives over and over again. And to establish and live out a culture that lasts, I have to move from knowledge to experience. Let's go back to First John 4. I'm going to look at it in the Passion because I like the way it says it. We have come into an intimate experience with God's love, and we trust in the love He has for us because God is love. Those who are living in love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. We are called to do heaven on earth. Do what Jesus did with the same power, with the love, the dominion that Jesus had. This is heaven's culture that is experienced. And not only is it experienced, it's then expressed. It's expressed by us. And this experience leads to transformation. See, when Paul had an experience on the road to Damascus, Saul became Paul because it led to a transformation. Romans 12:2 says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how I think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. I'm living the life He called me to live to begin with. So I'm living satisfied. I'm living perfect in His eyes. Now, beyond experience, for this value and culture, this heavenly culture to become a lifestyle, I have to learn to be committed to it. Because I can have an experience and it can fade in time. But commitment to it keeps it alive, keeps the culture alive in me. Commitment to a lifestyle of heaven's culture assures that this is not only for me, but it goes beyond me. It affects those around me. This is not just about me. And that's what He called me to be, right? A representation of heaven. To change from my earthly perspective to a heavenly perspective, to commit to look through heaven's windows versus earth's. I have to learn to commit to speak the language of love, faith, encouragement, praise, the goodness of God. I have to learn to say, God, you're good. This is not good, but God, you're good. I have to commit to make that sacrifice, because commitment is sacrifice. You know, if I want a true relationship, then I have to have commitment. Your marriage is not going to last. Your friendships are not going to last. Your job is not going to last if you don't have commitment. There are many rewards of commitment. I am crucified with Christ, yet not I who lives, but Christ who lives with me in me. That's a lot of commitment. The Bible is full of just commitment, dying, death and dying. You know, maybe next year in the month of October, we'll do a whole spoof on the whole, this time of the year. We'll talk about death, dying, and ghost, right? Because the Bible's all about dying, and we don't like to talk about that, but that's what commitment is. It's like, oh, I choose to see myself as God sees me. I choose to see things how He sees them, not how I see them. I choose to do the things that are best for me, not the things that I want to do. It's all about the commitment. You know, commitment leads to a multi-generational culture. It goes beyond you because your lifestyle gets adapted by those around you. Let's think bigger than just our children, which it's beautiful that it passes to your children, but think bigger than that. Think that this legacy passes to those that are in your world, the world God called you to, your workplace, your marketplace, your family, your extended family, your church family. You know, I like to look at the story of Samuel. First Samuel 2, he talks, you know, Samuel, he was a Levite. He was born in the Levite family, a tribe. And he was raised in a culture of knowing about God. He had knowledge of God. He was serving first. That's what that tribe was raised up to do and be. His mom was a praying woman, obviously. He was promised by God after her persistent, effectual prayer. So he had knowledge about God, but he moved from knowledge to experiencing Him. We know he was teachable because when he ends up in the temple, Eli has to let him know that voice you hear is God. God comes and speaks to him as a child. He's teachable. He learns the voice of God. He knows what it sounds like. But then he began, so he has an experience with God. And you know the thing that I love about that scripture? I just love that, but not a word. After he learns that, hey, that's the voice of God, not a word falls to the ground. I absolutely love that. I'm like, God, give me that. Give me that. I don't want a word that you're speaking to fall to the ground. It's almost like, I think the name of this game was Tetris. I don't know. It's like this video game. They drop down from the top and you have to run over and grab it. I'm like, oh God, that's a beautiful picture of your words. They're falling. These words are coming from heaven that I grab them, put them where they need to go. This person needs your word. I need this word in my heart. God, my family needs this word. Plugging it in, running back, and getting the next word from God. That's what the culture that I want to live in. That's the culture I want to raise my children in. That's the culture that I want those that are around me to experience. He was also, he was not a little man in the spirit. He was a child, but he was not little in the spirit. And don't despise our youth because they're not little in the spirit. You know, we talked about this last week. Next year, we have plans to, not sure how it's going to all look, but our children will become a part of all of life that we do here at church. Why? Because they don't have little Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, they're teachable. They're hearing the voice of God. I sat down last night and tried to converse with my children about what I was going to speak about today. I was like, okay, if you can't understand it, nobody else can understand it. So I need to know that you can understand what I'm going to say. And I said, so Heidi, if I said God speaks, then you know that. But how can you explain that? Oh, because I've heard him. And if you can hear him and you've heard him, I can't take that experience away from her. It can't be argued out of her with knowledge because she's experienced it. It's not the little Holy Spirit speaking to them. It's the same Holy Spirit that speaks to you and I. Samuel was also committed. He was committed to carry out God's purpose to the whole nation of Israel. It wasn't always easy. Samuel's job was definitely not easy. He impacted generations. In fact, he impacted beyond his life. He's the only ghost in the whole Bible. Go back and read it. Saul, they bring back the ghost of Samuel to speak to Saul. His life went far beyond what he could imagine. He was committed to a lifestyle of living out heaven's purpose for him. You know, I said we were in 18. We're going to emphasize on empowering our next generation. It's the legacy that outlives us. And to empower means to give authority to. Give the authority to the power to do something, to empower them. So I am called to empower those around me by giving them the same authority that has been given to me. And I do this by the words I speak, by changing the viewpoint, changing the atmosphere of where I walk, what I say. I bring heaven's atmosphere. I'm committed to bringing heaven's atmosphere wherever I go. At church, at home. I'm empowering them to continue the kingdom for generations to come. You know, there's power in our declarations, and we've been really making an emphasis on declarations, not only over our offering, beyond the words that are spoken, but the language of faith that is captured by the next generation. When I'm speaking, sometimes I have to speak things until I believe them. Peyton was saying that earlier. I speak it until I believe it. This kind of sounds silly, but it works. It's heaven's way of doing things. I was reading the first chapter in Song of Solomon's. It's amazing. You should read it. If read it in the Passion Translation, because it kind of breaks out, he said, she said, he said, she said. So it's really cool to look at it, because she starts talking about herself. She's not feeling good about herself. She's not saying good things about herself. Only thing he's saying back to her is, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. This is the way God sees us. We come to him, I am not this, I'm not that, I can't do this, I can't do that. And he is saying, you are beautiful. You can do all things through me. I believe in you. He keeps speaking back to me his words, his promises, how he sees me. So I have to learn to speak heaven's dialect. I have to speak what he speaks. God is good. This may not be good, and my circumstances don't look good, but I am speaking what he sees and what he knows until it becomes the truth. Right. I believe in you. The song that we sang this morning, I believe in you, God. Don't look right. Things don't look the way I want them to look, but I believe in you. Faith. It's faith. It's the language of heaven. Psalms 154:4 says, one generation shall commend your works to another. That's why it's so important that we speak. We speak who he is, who he's done, what we've experienced. Because we're speaking to those around us. We're speaking to the next generation and telling them, hey, God did this. And if God does it for one, he'll do it for the other. We were singing a song last week, and I don't know what, it just hit me that, okay, so forever he conquered death. Well, death is the ultimate. We can't fight death. I mean, death wins, then what are you going to do? Nothing. It's the ultimate. So if he conquers death, it's the ultimate, then everything beyond it is his. Everything up sickness, conquer death, got that. There's an effect that happens that if it's been done once, it can be done again. Right. So it's the words I speak. It God did this once. He provided for me. And if he's done it once, the law of reasoning is that he can do it again. So I stand upon that. I'd bring those words. It's heaven to earth. God is good. God is my provider. God is my help. God is my healer. Illness may be manifesting in my body, but God is a healer, and he is my healer. And he's done it before. This is why it's so important that you share your testimony. Yes. Tell it. Find anybody that'll listen and tell it, and look for opportunities to tell what God's done in your life. Jesus tells his disciples, hey, greater things than what I did shall you do in my name. So if I am standing on the generation, on the shoulders of the generation before me, because greater things shall I do in his name, if I'm standing on their shoulders, then God, help me to be the pillar. And if each generation is doing more, you know, knowledge, everything there is today is not how it looked 20 years ago. More and more and more things are available. You know, when I was born, I would have never dreamed that I would have an iPhone that I could talk to my husband, who is 10 hours away in Acuna this morning. that I could bring that phone with me and I could sit in church and nobody would know that I was texting him and finding out how things happened yesterday. I mean, last night. Knowledge. The experience. So if I am, it has greatly changed since the days of horses and buggies and chariots. Wisdom, we know more and more and more every day. Not because there's more and more, we're just figuring out. It was already there. God created this. There's nothing new under the sun. We just finally figured out how to open up our brains and figure some stuff out. Now, if this generation, I chased the rabbit there. If a generation, the next generation, stands upon my shoulders, then I want to speak heaven's culture and speak heaven's words and do what God's called me to do in this generation, because there's no telling what's going to happen in the next generation. They have more means of communication than I ever dreamed of. And if they have all these means of a communication this era, no telling what next era is going to be. So if they're going to stand, if I'm standing on the shoulders of the previous generation, then how am I ensuring what the next generation will look like? What am I doing? I don't want there to be a loss. I want there to be a gain. I want my kids to do more for Jesus than I have ever done in my whole life. I want their footprint to be bigger than my footprint. I want the footprint of heaven through them to be enormous. So how much more will the generation, next generation do based on my presentation of Christ through me, through my present lifestyle of heaven's culture? Am I bringing heaven to earth in absolutely every avenue of my life? So we looked at knowledge, and we looked at experience and commitment. You know, I have knowledge of how I should eat. Thank you, Emily. I have much knowledge of it. I've even experienced what it feels like to have eaten well and eaten pure and eaten good and how awesome I feel. The problem I have is with that commitment level. Because, you know, Tammy makes a cake and I want a piece of that cake. And it just, it's over. I'm looking for sugar. But you know what? I immediately say, okay, I didn't like the way that made me feel. Oh, it tasted good, but I didn't like the way that made me feel. So I try to get back on track to my commitment. And the same thing is in our life of adapting a culture. The culture of heaven. We're not going to get it perfect all the time. We have knowledge of what the kingdom of heaven looks like. And we've even experienced, most of us in this room have experienced what the kingdom of heaven is. We've experienced his love. We've experienced his peace. We've experienced faith in action. It's the commitment that we work on day to day, the daily dying out to myself, the daily readjustment of my earthly perspective versus heavenly perspective. And the more of the less of the earthly perspective I listen to, I buy into, the more of the heavenly perspective pours out of my mouth. I've learned if I cannot view the news, if I can't see that without fear, then I just choose to not see it. Because that viewpoint is not my viewpoint, because I know that God is good in all circumstances. I know that God is my provider in all circumstances. So if I adapt to what's going on around me, if I listen to it and it messes up my viewpoint, then I choose to adjust what I have coming in. So my prayer for us today is, Lord, I ask that you would expand my thinking. Expand my thinking so that I can think through heaven's view, heaven's culture. expand my experience with you. It improves my level of commitment. The more often that I feel well, the more likely I am that I'm going to eat right. My commitment level increases. And the same with the viewpoint of heaven's viewpoint. The more I speak his viewpoint, the more I see his goodness at work. And the more I see his goodness at work, the more I want to speak his viewpoint. And so I pray as a church, let's bow our heads and pray real quick. God, I pray that you'll expand my thinking, that I can match your thoughts and keep my eyes looking from heaven's viewpoint. Let my words be words that declare his kingdom over all the life that's around me. God, I choose to let you out of the box. I choose to let you be as big as you really are. I choose to let you speak through me and that your words are good. Your perspective is good. I choose to let you change the atmosphere around me to an atmosphere of hope, an atmosphere of love, of honor, of unity, of serving your eyes, God. I choose to take your eyes, your viewpoint, take off the glasses of self and worldly views, and to see through your eyes, God. God, help me to move. Help me to move from just knowledge about you to experiencing you. And if there's a place in my life that I haven't fully experienced you, God, I invite you into my life. Let me experience you in all that you have for me. I choose to take the restrictions off of you in my life, in my heart, and let you have free rein to do all that you have called me to be, God, that I may be all you called me to be.